Welcome, everybody. This is the National Finance Committee meeting of August 26, 2014. My name is Brian Edwards-Tiekert. I'm chairing. I'll ask the Secretary, R. Paul Martin, to please take the roll.
Okay. Jim Boyd.
Here.
Lydia Brazon. Adriana Kasanov.
Here.
Brian Edwards-Tiekert.
Here.
Marcus Jeter. R. Paul Martin here. Tony
yes,
Norman.
Tony Norman here.
Okay. Michael Novick.
Present.
Manisha Saba. Raul Salvador.
Present.
Barbara Whipperman.
Here.
We have eight. That's a quorum.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. We are on to agenda approval. I'd like to hear a motion to approve the agenda I sent out last night under the subject line Final Draft Agenda.
Jim, motion approved.
Jim Boyd makes the motion. Any discussion? Any objection to the agenda as proposed? Hearing no objection, the agenda is now approved. We're on
Brian,
to
Brian, I have one question. Dwayne's going to meet me over here at the office.
Here,
both of us together. Would you like us to just break in whenever he gets here?
You know, we locked a time for it at 10 o'clock your time. I'd rather we stick to the fixed time, unless that's a serious inconvenience.
No, I just wanted to know how you want to proceed.
Yeah, I think it'll be easier for us to deal with a fixed point in time.
Good.
So I heard no objection to agenda approval. That means the agenda is adopted. And we're on to minutes approval. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes of August 12th?
Actually, they came in pretty late. So I don't know if people, I don't know if anybody's had a chance to look at them.
I haven't looked at them, honestly.
I'm still reading them.
Okay, how about a motion to table those minutes? Or to postpone to next meeting?
Yeah.
So moved.
All right. We heard a motion to postpone from Barbara Whipperman. Is there any objection? Hearing none, those minutes are postponed till our next meeting. We are on to reviewing 2013 unaudited financial statements. And we'll start with the National Office. Preparatory remarks, hoping we can approach this with the same framework as last time. We know these are still very rough preliminary numbers that we have that have been produced by folks at the National Office who don't actually have all the supporting details they need on these numbers from the stations. So we're counting on those of you who work more closely with the staff at your stations to help us flag things that don't look right so that they can get corrected. And to figure out what the hell went on, because right now we are showing a more than $2 million deficit in fiscal year 2013.
Question?
So, Raul, can you take us through the National Office statement?
Can you remind us the email that contained those? Because I went looking and I found the 2014 instead of the 2013. So
they were all attached to the same email.
Is this the file named Mo Budget?
Mo Budget? Okay, so my version of Mo Budget says consolidated 2014 budget. Am I confusing something?
Let me see where I sent that out.
So I sent it on August 19th, subject line year-to-date 2014 preliminary statement and preliminary unaudited 2013 year-end.
Okay, maybe I just didn't get that over.
Is Barbara with a question?
These things are two attachments, you're saying?
Four attachments.
Okay, let me go find it again.
What date was that?
I sent the email to the committee on August 9th. It was from
August
my address.
August 9th. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's actually something that's over here. Okay. And which file name are we looking at right now?
The file name is unaudited, preliminary unaudited consolidated income statements fiscal year 2013 versus 2012.
Okay. Thank you.
This is Barbara with a question.
Go ahead, Barbara.
I'm looking at a document that, and I don't know which email it came with, but it does have 2012 and 2013.
You're looking at the right document.
The columns are arranged in the categories that are actually used on the 990 form.
Oh, you're looking at the unaudited statement of functional expenses.
Consolidated functional reports, yes.
That is not the document we're reviewing.
Oh. All right.
Do you all want me to resend out the file?
Right. At this moment, someone is printing it out for me over here.
You want the preliminary unaudited consolidated income statement fiscal year 2013 versus something?
Yes, that's the file we're working from.
That's it. Okay. I was going to say that. Yeah, because I have my file open from my directory. I wanted to get that same file that we're all looking at. So can you send that out, Brian, so we're on the same page?
Yeah. I'll recirculate it now. I'm sorry. I should have attached it to the agenda. Let me just delete the ones we're not looking at so there's no confusion. Okay. I just sent it to the email group now. Looks like it's cleared the list. Has everybody got it? Raul, are you looking at the same document too?
I am now. I'm loading it right now. Okay.
Barbara, you have it in hand?
Not in hand yet. Coming.
So okay. Is it en route to your
hand? Everybody looking at the 2-year comparison, the 2013 and 2012?
That's what we all should be looking at.
Okay.
All right, everybody, mute your phones, and Raul, let's start on the national office.
Hang on a second. I'm trying to look for my notes here. If you get me, 60 seconds, I will fix this up.
Raul, are you still with us?
Yes. Hang on a second. I'm trying to get that out. Because I'm dialing into the network. I'm calling from New York.
Okay. Let's start with National.
So the one we're looking at has 2012 and 2013 on it. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. National. Okay. Well, National. One of the things that we haven't recorded into the National Islam of the major expenses is the pension plan, but I'm going to go through that on the expense side. But the national revenue, we have recorded income from affiliates of $161,000. That is about $60,000 short of what we expect of about $230,000from income from affiliates. We recorded subcarrier income of $274,000. That's about $20,000 less. I'm comparing. What? I take it back. FDA income has $274,000 versus $250,000 projected onto that for 2013. So it's about $24,000 above budget. And the the revenue I'm looking at two schedules and going back and forth because I have the budget comparison which I should have sent to you as well. So for the total revenue, national at $592,000 without the central services. Without the central services, I wanted to suggest I want to send to you a another schedule. I think it will be better because I'm going back and forth to directories here. That's why I'm having a hard time like comparing this because these are just raw numbers, the ones that you have. I'm going to send out another schedule with a budget comparison. Is that okay?
Sure.
And you will see what I'm talking about because I'm having a hard time going back and forth with two schedules. Thank you.
Yeah, Raul, if it's going to take a while, maybe we should table review of this document and move on to another part of our agenda while you get it out.
Okay. We can just go back. I need to send this out to you.
The only thing we can skip ahead to at this point is what's currently listed as item 5 on the agenda, budgeting policies and timeline. Does anybody have a motion to take that up out of order?
Take that up out of order, number 5.
Is that?
Great. Was that Jim?
Yeah.
Question is that 5 or 6?
You've noticed the flaw with my numbering scheme, Harpal. I think it should be labeled 6, and the number preceding it should be labeled 5.
Okay, so FY 2015 budgeting policies / timeline is number 6. Okay.
Any objection to taking those items up? Hearing no objection, that's what we'll do for the next little bit. The first item is an item I put on, which is budgeting for CPB money and reserves. So I thought there were two questions we should probably make clear for all the people drawing up budgets if they're not clear already, which is how we want them to budget CPB for CPB money and what kind of surpluses, if any, do we expect them to budget in order to pay down bills or replenish reserves, which is something Michael Novick had asked us to take up. So I noticed KPFT has budgeted no CPB money, which I think is prudent. And I'm wondering, is there anybody who is budgeting CPB money?
Planning on it.
The second question is surpluses. KPFT is basically budgeting a break-even budget. No, I don't think you're saddled with any back bills, are you?
No, we're not.
But I did notice in your cash flow forecast that by up to $40,000. So my thought on this, and I would like to hear what you all think, is that given the straits of our stations, it's probably not realistic to expect stations to budget large surpluses in order to create reserves. But what we could ask them to do is to budget to break even without CPB money, and then should any CPB money appear, for that to be but great answers. What do y'all think?
Brian, this is Jim.
Shoot.
We haven't had a real good update on CPB in about a month or 5 weeks. What is there any possibility of getting any of the money, even the portion from a year and a half ago that was allocated but not distributed?
As I understand it, and Raul may have more current information than I do, that is the only money that there's a possibility of getting right now. And we are most likely to get the NPAC portion. That's the portion that's restricted to paying for national programming, and not the part that the stations can actually use. Is that accurate, Raul?
No, actually, we have about, I believe, $320,000, close to that, for all the stations, and about, I believe, $145,000 is restricted. Well, let me get the actual. But part of that's the second installment you're talking about. Part of that is restricted to, that would have been allocated to the FSRN. But that is the one that's kind of more determinable than the future, I mean, the succeeding years. So we don't have any indication of any amount for 2014 or 2015. So,
even FSRN money is questionable?
What was that?
Even the FSRN money is questionable?
You mean the portion on the second installment of 2013, I'm sorry. It's still questionable. We do not have any indication either way on whether we're going to get that soon. But I think we were going to discuss in the PNB and Margie, and I'm going to say it like in advance, but we had some indication that we are going to be continued to be qualified under the CPB funding as long as we continue to do the legal requirements on a regular basis. So at this point, and Margie would have a more detailed report on that on the PNB, but we were given an indication that the CPB people are willing to talk to us and about reinstating our qualification to get CPB funding.
Now, Jim, if that money were to come through, I believe where it shows up is on 2013 books, so it wouldn't be used for budgeting purposes as anything other than a cash item.
Right, and that would be also part of that. I believe that 2013 has been accrued also in our books. We recorded because we were anticipating that we were going to get that in 2013. So we have an approval for that, or we recorded that as coming through. So we have that in our books of 2013. So by the time we do our audit, we will be able to determine, or the auditors will assist us whether we're going to keep that as a receivable kind of accounting for the CPB, the second installment, or we just totally take it out until we have a definite confirmation that those monies are coming in. So, but I'm talking about also moving forward with the 2014 and 2015. It looks to me that that they are willing to reconsider, and that would be dependent on we continue to be in compliance with the legal requirements and the submission of the financial report, the AFRs, and the audited financial statements.
Is there anyone actively working on meeting those requirements?
Yes, we have designated Otis to compile all the necessary requirements, the notice requirements, the reports, and working with John Kriegler on those. So John Kriegler submits them on a quarterly basis to the CBB. And then on the financial aspect of the requirements, which is the financial statements, that would be filed, the AFRs would be filed after we get the audited financial statements. When we get the audited financial statements, we will go into the website and complete the forms for the AFRs, which stands annual financial reports, and we will... at that point, we will determine if what or if we are getting CPB funding. And in answer to your question, yes, Otis and John Krigler, and of course the National Office for the Financial Report, are going to work on that.
Okay, I'm going to make what I said before into a motion, and I've just circulated it for debate and modification. The proposed policy is all units should create budgets that show positive net income without CPB funding. Any CPB monies that are received in the 2015 fiscal year should be put toward either catching up on unpaid bills or building up operating reserves. Any discussion on that?
No.
Sorry, who was that?
I think that was just me heaving a sigh.
You question.
Shoot.
You want without, the word without, before CPB to be all caps?
No, thank you.
Okay.
I must have stuttered on the caps lock.
Yeah, that happens. Okay.
Thank you for helping me not shout.
I have a question on this.
Shoot.
On the motion. What if we can't realistically do that? What if there's a station that, you know, everything adds up and we look at it and it's not a positive net income? What then? What do we do then?
That is the beauty of the budgeting process. It makes us confront those situations. I mean, I think it's useless to discuss it in the abstract.
Okay, well... maybe we should have it be all units should strive to create budgets.
Well, you know, a budget's a plan.
Yeah.
If we're planning to lose money, it's not a very sound plan.
Well, if we're looking at things and we can see stuff, you know, we shouldn't budget the way things were done some years ago, where people made a motion to add $200,000 because we were short, and a motion passed because it was based on the motion. So I'm just saying here that, you know, we've been looking for a while here at all of the stations, and it isn't just one station or two stations that aren't doing well. There's a lot of not doing well in Pacifica throughout the whole network, and I mean, I guess the deal is we could pass this motion and, you know, then let reality assert itself, and we'll just, I don't know how we justify passing this motion in this way, though, before that.
Well, the word is should. Should not shall. Hi, Adriana. Did you want to jump into this discussion?
Yes. Can
Go
you
ahead.
Hear me?
Please.
Okay. I think that is the base of the problem that we are having with Pacifica Foundation. I think that at least the budget needs to be balanced. We cannot, if the stations cannot make a budget that is balanced, obviously they cannot survive. That's why we are in the deep bed that we are. We need to budget, to have a budget that is balanced. It's not a discussion about this. I mean, I don't understand how can even think that we will approve something that is a budget. You need for the means that you have. If you don't have the money, find a way. Thank you.
I didn't catch the last part. Well, say again all after if you don't have the money.
if you don't have the money, that whatever you have to, like you do in your own house or your own company. It's very easy. You cannot pay for with the money that you don't have. We need to live within our means. That's all.
Any further discussion?
Welcome to Loop Up. Enter an access code, then press pound. To cancel, press star. One moment, please. Loop Up is recording this call for the call leader's future use.
Okay, the amendment is to add the word strive to the motion, which would make it read, all units should strive to create budgets that show positive net income, etc. Okay, Jim Boyd.
No.
Lydia Brazon. Adriana Kasanov.
No.
Brian Edwards-Tiekert.
No.
Marcus Jeter. R. Paul Martin, yes. Tony Norman. Michael Novick.
No.
Manager Saba, Raul Salvador.
No.
Barbara Whipperman.
No.
Okay, it's 1-4, 6 against. It failed.
You're very good spirited about it. Let's go to a motion. Vote on the main motion. So the vote again is on the following policy. All units should create budgets that show positive net income without CPB funding. Any CPB monies that are received in the 2015 fiscal year should be put toward either catching up on unpaid bills or building up operating reserves. Mr. Secretary.
Would you like to ask if there's objection to it?
Good question. Any objection? Hearing none, the motion's approved. I see the document from Raul for the 2013 unedited financial statements has been circulated now. Any objection to taking that up next? Hearing none?
Did we do both of these items here?
The other one was setting dates for budget review.
Yeah. Is it then understood that we have only gone to A and that when we get through everything else and we get back to 6, 6B
yes,
will be
correct.
There? Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so, whoops.
Raul?
You know what, Raul? Your version of Excel may be too modern for some of us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me resend this.
We haven't received it.
Excuse me?
This is Barbara at APFA. We haven't received it.
It went out through the national finance list, Barbara. My time of receipt was 18 minutes ago.
Yes, I received it.
Have you got it now, Barbara?
I don't think so.
Is it from Raul or from you, Brian?
From Raul's address through the national finance list.
Gotcha, okay.
No, I don't have it either.
All right, let me re-forward it from my address in case Raul's hitting your spam filter.
Let me send you on the older version. So, and then I kind of tweaked the pin so that you will be easily directed to the end of the columns where you have the actual total for the year versus.
You're going to hide the month by month?
No, yeah. No, I freeze the pane so that you can...
Are you going to freeze the panes?
Yeah, so that it will be like everybody will be able to scroll to the right where you have the total for the year.
Okay.
And this is on the older version of Excel. Hopefully you get that.
Yeah, I'm getting, oh boy. I'm getting a corrupt on that one.
Okay, yeah, I just saved it on the older version.
Okay.
All right, just saw it come through. I'm going to individually copy people who aren't getting this through the list. So I heard Barbara was having trouble getting it. Who else?
I didn't get it. I don't know.
Okay. So I'm re-forwarding what Raul just sent out, and it's copied to Barbara and Michael at your individual email addresses.
Got it, Treasurer.
Sorry, I sent it to your LMI.net account. What do you want, Treasurer or KPSLSB?
Yes, please, yes.
Or Paul,
yes.
You had a problem with a corrupted copy?
Yeah, what I have, besides it saying that, it's 500K on my hard drive, it's 705 on the email. However, the new one's here, so let's put that in. See what happens there. Save the new one, which is bigger.
We have it on the treasurer email.
Good.
All right, the second one's come up.
Okay.
Okay. So the first spreadsheet that we're going to look at, the tab under NLs for National Office, and this is where I was reading the earlier description. As you can see here, they incorporated the Central Services Income. Central Services Income. We recorded between the five stations about $230,000 below what was budgeted. And most of that were coming from WBAI. We recorded about $285,000 below the budgeted of $455,000. WPFW, about $55,000 below of what we budgeted, and KPFT, about $22,000 below what we budgeted. KPFK and KPFA had contributed a little bit more than what was budgeted. KPSA had $112,000 over. I just want to make a note that not all of these central services have been funded by the radio station. This is on an accrual basis only. In the total income, as you can see, we still are below $241,000, mainly from the central services accrual, and the affiliate income of about $63,000 below budget. And again, on the affiliate income, there were some confusion on whether the affiliate income were billed on a regular basis. This is still under the national office accounting and tracking. The affiliates fees are now being tracked by affiliates office by Ursula in Iowa, and they had set up their own bank account to forward all the deposits into the bank into that bank account as of February of 2014. On the salary side, it looks like we have where the national office went below the $676,000 in salaries and benefits, and that it was mainly to the number of employees that we have that we had benefits. In 2013, only three employees were entitled to benefits. Most of the employees were hired at the national office, were hired from the temp agency or were contracted under the temporary agency with the account temps and accounting principles. That's why we didn't pay as much benefits at that time. On the administrative expenses, in relation to the temp agency, as you can see here, there's 300 under the consultants. $308,000, was spent on temporary agency employees instead of hiring them as employees. So we only budgeted $30,000 for incidental hiring of temporary employees. So about four employees were paid out of that consultant expenses line. Insurance expense, we kind of over budgeted by about $50,000. Our total actual expenses are about $250,000.
I had a question.
Those are questions now. We'll take a stack of questions when he's done presenting the national office portion. Go ahead, Raul.
Okay. The insurance expenses, we only spent $250,000 versus what was budgeted at $300,000. That is about the same level that we are budgeting for this year, and that is exactly what also is in line with our 2014 estimated expenses. So for some reason, we over-budgeted on the year-to-date, on the 2013 budget under the insurance expenses. Our audit expenses are higher by $50,000, and we probably know why that is, because we the audit had dragged for a longer time than we expected, and we had other services like the certification of the CPB AFRs at the same time. We have put here the tax preparation expenses. We are for 2014, we probably have the same level of expenses, But in 2015, we anticipate that it's going to be lower because most of our accounting would be prepared ahead of time. So that's our goal. We anticipate that the actual audit expenses should only be about $80,000 a year. National board expenses is also under budget, and we only have, I believe, one board meeting in fiscal year 2013 that was recorded. The November 2013 meeting was included in the 2014 fiscal year. For programming expenses, we have an accrual of for Democracy Now. We stopped accruing Democracy Now as of the beginning of fiscal year 2014. So this is the last fiscal year that we have accrued expenses. These are just expenses recorded based on the billing. And after September 30, there is no contract active with Democracy Now! Satellite fees are expenses for NPR and Clear Channel. The NPR fees are high depending on the usage of the upload of some of our programming. So it can fluctuate. And in this particular case, in 2013, there's about the $35,000 average of uploading programming. Development expenses, we do not have anything, as you can see, except for like credit card account fees. We did not have any direct mail campaign or anything in 2013. So the total expenses is $400,000 of that. That's mostly on the administrative expenses, and the accounting and audit fees. And that is the national office.
Okay, I'll take a snap on questions now.
R. Paul.
I've got R. Paul. Who else?
Michael Miller.
I've got Michael. Who else? All right, let's start with you, R. Paul. Go ahead.
Okay. Insurance expense is, let me get it back up to it here. The insurance expense, is that only health insurance, or is that all of the other lovely insurance that Pacifica National Office has to do?
Those are your business insurance.
Okay.
The medical insurance are in the under the salaries and benefits.
Right, okay, so this is all insurance other than health. So this is okay. So this is all of the other things for when everybody sues.
That
liability, directors and officers.
Yeah.
Errors and omissions, directors insurance, D&O, fire, property insurance, liability.
Michael.
Yeah, I was trying to understand what you were saying about the, I just call my own phone. You were saying about salaries and related expenses, and then separately consultants under administrative expenses. So you're saying that even though the salaries and related expenses shows a little bit under budget. The actual payroll cost was much higher because of the $378,000 over budget on consultants. Is that right?
That's right. I believe in 2013, which is including October, November, and December of 2012, we have paid some severance payments to departing officers, and there's some duplicated salaries at that time. There was an overlap. Also, there was a couple position in the national office that was not budgeted. The director of administrative services was not budgeted in 2013, and that's why the expenses were the salary line was a little bit higher.
Okay, and then you're saying that the even though the gross salaries were just in the salaries were quite a bit over budget, but we didn't pay that much for benefits because some of people were.
Yes.
Part-time
because the employees were all temp agency employees and were not entitled to benefits.
Even the ones who are listed on the salaries and related expenses, in other words, in addition to the consultants?
Yeah, they're consultants. The temp agency employees were booked under the consultants line.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. In other words, you had a budget for gross salaries. It was budgeted at $508,000.
Right.
It came in at $582,000. So that's
correct.
Higher. But all the others,
yes.
That doesn't include the consultants.
That doesn't include the consultants. We have, we paid the previous CFO and the executive director when we parted ways with them in the last quarter of 2012. At the same time, we paid out vacation and some severance payments.
Okay.
I have the same question, Raul. The thing is that based on the gross salaries, everything
right.
else looks too low. So health benefits is only one quarter of budget, even though gross salaries is over budget.
Yes. There were only actually three employees that were entitled benefits during that time, during the fiscal year. And one of them, which is me, came in the middle of the year. So versus five employees, five to six employees that they budgeted in 2013 that should be entitled to the benefits.
And then why would FICA taxes be lower than
budget? My other
They're question. A third of budget.
Which one?
The FICA, many months are in parentheses as you look across. Some months show, essentially an expense, and other months, I don't know if money was rebated or what, that's why it would be in parentheses.
Let me see.
Like quarter three and quarter four, essentially there was money coming back in as FICA taxes, it says.
I could check that. I don't know what happened to that.
Okay. Did you have anything else, Michael?
No, those are my major questions.
Well, I did have a question on the central service. Well, I'll hold that actually until we get to the stations. But you're sure that they're all being booked as accrual, not cash?
What was that?
You're sure that all the central services are being booked as accrual, not cash?
Not cash, yes.
question?
Go for it, Paul.
Line 122, our bottom line. Gee, that looks like a big negative number, right? We were budgeted for 105, and you're saying we... Okay, I'm looking at these two numbers. What?
Right. Yeah, it's $642,000 worse than budget.
Yeah. So...
Is that a rhetorical question?
I'm making sure, because I'm looking at the year-to-date variance, and I'm saying, oh, my. Okay, so it's...
It's what happens when you raise $250,000 less than you thought and spend $400,000 more than you planned.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at this. So we are, so National Office came in $642,000 in the red for what is this, FY13, is that it?
Right. I forgot to note that the legal expenses were also about $140,000 higher than budgeted. And the consultant is 278. Part of that, $278,000. $67,000 of that was paid to a consultant that they hired in the first quarter of 2013. The two consultants that worked for 2 months, and it cost the foundation $67,000.
And just to clarify, Paul, the $642,000 is worse than budget, but the deficit is only $537,000.
A mere $537,000.
A
bag of shells.
All right.
One other question on that. So,
go ahead, Michael.
Is any of that, will any of that be offset by if the CPV money should come in? Or... None of that go to the National Office.
CPB, the NPAD money from CPB still winds up on the station's books.
Station, okay.
Not the National Office books.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Next unit we have on the agenda is the Pacifica Radio Archive. Raul?
Tony, back on the call. Apologize, we got caught up in a meeting, so I'm back.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to the tab PRA. If you could scroll to the right-hand side, the totals. PRA, as I have indicated in the last meeting when we reviewed the year today, was close to target of the revenue and its expenses. The listener support was a little bit higher in 2013, over about $96,000 over the budget, and a little bit short on the revenue, a purchase of revenue from the radio stations, that's your premiums revenue in-house, $52,000. We budgeted $77,000 versus $25,000 that PRA generated. And they have a grant income of $10,000, as well as a premium sales to outside Pacifica of about $2,000 above budget. And they were short on central services, as indicated here for BAI, PFW, and KPFT. Nevertheless, their total revenue is about $36,000 higher than budget. For expenses, they're... a little bit on target. They're about $6,000, a little bit over, and that's mostly on the salaries. They had hired towards the end of the year. They hired a temporary archivist that helped out in some of the grants that they generated. So their administrative expenses about $8,000 higher, and it's probably just a classification of some of the expenses under the admin. Some of these have been budgeted under development expenses. Their development expenses, they're about $3,000 higher. And, programming. Programming is about $13,000 higher. So the total expenses is about $33,000 higher. And so that makes up for the revenue. And they're about only $3,000 in excess income, or surplus of $3,000 above budget. And that's CRA.
Questions on the archives? Anybody? If there's no questions, we'll move on because we are behind schedule. The next unit on our agenda is WBAI. I'm starting to hear some noise over the phone line, so if you all can mute while Raul presents. Go ahead.
WBAI. Overall, WBAI, it's about $955,000, net loss, versus about $66,000, that, surplus that they had budgeted, for about $1 million behind, budget. And that was mainly because of the, revenue short stage of about $735,000. Mostly from the CPB grant. Other allocations was lower than we anticipated, of about $160,000. That's line 21 and line 22. And that's probably true with all the other stations. Their CPB allocation was lower than expected. WBAI's listener support was about $189,000 below budget, generating about $2.5 million versus $2.7 million of budget. There's also some website income that was not recorded, and that website income just was not probably recorded on its, was not categorized. It's probably all included in the listener support during this year, because this was a new initiative that they had implemented at WBAI in this fiscal year. They're also short on some other income. Major donor income and some grants income, and that's why we're below budget for the total income by $700,000. On the salaries expenses, we have our salaries is $1.7 million versus $1.3, about $400,000 below budget. And that's mainly from the severance payment made in August. And of about $296,000 total expenses, including taxes for those severance payments. On the administrative expenses, WBAI is by $77,000 above budget, and that was mainly due to some office expenses and some other administrative postage and regular lines, telephone lines. Again, for the radio station, the programming, they're about $62,000 above budget with this programming expenses, mainly from the accrual of expenses in the tower expenses, the utilities and the escalator clause that require them to pay about $10,000 higher per month on what was budgeted in 2013. Development expenses, that's your premiums, is also higher in at BAI. The premiums were about $50,000 higher than budgeted at BAI. And the expenses for your community events is about $25,000 higher, lower in BAI. Central services was about $294,000 lower than what was budgeted. We started recording in 2013 a reduced percentage for DAI to help DAI catch up with expenses, but they budgeted the full 17% in 2013. That leaves them with about $1 million below budget. In terms of the excess income and loss. And that's BAI.
Questions on WBAI? Unmute yourself to get
Michael,
on.
Michael, can you
stack? I've got Michael. Who else?
Our Paul.
I've got our Paul. Who else? Our Paul, it's your station. Why don't you go first?
Okay. My station. Oh, my. No, it's not.
It is your station of origin.
It's where we are right now, yes. Let's see. The there are a couple of things here. One of the things you mentioned, phone lines problems, I will note that we've had a chronic problem with Verizon for a couple of years here. The general manager is saying he's going to war with Verizon to try and get money back for stuff. So the severance tax, you have the severance is in here, right?
Right. If you look at August.
And is the tax in here?
Yes.
So that's accrued, right?
Yes.
Right, because the tax hasn't been paid yet.
Yes.
Now, when we get fined for not having paid the tax yet on time, will that expense show up in here someday?
No, it will show up in 2014.
Okay.
I have referred that question to, before we recorded this. I have referred that question to our auditors, and that's their recommendation.
Yeah, makes sense. On our rent expense, it's on line 54, rent expense. Okay, that is not tower, right? Line 54?
No. That, I believe...
That was for 120 Wall.
Yeah, Wall Street, yes.
I'm looking at it, and I'm... Of course, I'm trying to remember in the past, and that was a rather insane year, but...
Right.
I'm wondering how we... How for 120 Wall, we went 100... We went way over. We're under. Okay, sorry. I'm looking at this fast.
No. Yeah.
Okay, so that's because that's getting bounced out, I guess.
Right.
Oh. All right, thank you.
Paul, I'd appreciate you taking a closer look at that and seeing if you can flag anything that looks off to you, because I think we need all the help we can get getting clarity on WBAI's books, and it's not clear that booking expenses as accrual rather than cash has always been a consistent practice where you are.
Well, not just at BAI, but I can tell you that on the National Finance Committee we've stepped in accrual when we thought we were on a firm cash at one point. So yeah, I will look at this and look at this further, because I'm just seeing it now.
Great.
Yeah, we are developing. We're finishing the schedules for the audit, and we are going to find more adjustment if we go through that the audit. I'm pretty sure that we are.
Okay, Michael Novick,
manager.
Let's see what line that is. 57 utilities, 0 for the year. I was just curious why that was.
That is
5,000.
Line 57?
Correct.
57, yeah. Line 57 utilities, budget of 55,000, nothing spent.
Yeah. Because I'm not sure I could look into this, but my suspicion is, and it's kind of a normal practice, that utilities expense are usually added on to the rent expense in this particular case. But I can look into that.
So I'm sure that's the case for the tower utilities. That's just added into the tower rental on 73 and 72.
Yes. Same situation. Yes.
Yeah, that makes more sense. And then my other concern was the PRA premiums, line 96, budgeted 25,000, and didn't spend anything there. It was weird to me.
Okay.
That's open into the other premiums, or
Again, there might be a miscategorization of the premiums at BAI, but we could take a look at this.
Yeah, maybe compare it with the PRA. I don't know, and see did they get premium money from. I know there's some problem about the internal transfers or something, but I thought that was for 2014, not 2013. But
yeah,
PRA got money from.
They all lumped them together into like the same premiums line.
Mm-hmm. But in terms of having them line up, if there's premium income to the PRA and WBAI, there should be a premium expense on the WBAI.
correct, yes.
Any other questions on BAI? Raul, they might appreciate if you looked into that website income line, because if there was income that was misclassified as listener support, it might lower their central service tab a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, that's one of our discussions earlier today when I went over with the general manager of the AI. I indicated to him that that is really an important category. In fact, we look at also the other description of their income. They have another website, income, that pertains to WBAI Buddy, and I told them to kind of change the description on that. For the benefit of everybody, it is important to have the proper categories of income in the right places, because that would be the basis for the CPV computation. So it's important that this income are classified correctly, because grants and other income will not be included in the computation for the allocation of CPV funding.
Okay. That does it for BAI. We have arrived at the time for consideration of the KPFT budget. So we will suspend our review of 2013 income statements. Do we have Dwayne Bradley on the line with us?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Dwayne, welcome to our special time.
Hey there.
Thank you for taking time out of your evening. We've got a half hour total to go over your budget. So do you want to start us off by orienting us?
Sure. Happy to be here. Once again, apparently first in the queue for consideration by the National Finance Group, and I appreciate maintaining that tradition, I suppose. KPFT, for those of you who may be new on this, KPFT has a relatively small budget in the overall pie of Pacifica, very lean, and in the wake of the loss of CPB funding over the last 18 months, we've built this budget for 2015 to not include any expected income from CPB, which caused us to have to make some very, I would say, dramatic changes in our budget, and some very painful ones, including de-affiliating with Public Radio International and American Public Media, which were services KPFT had been affiliated with for at least a decade prior to my arrival 12 years ago. And that was mainly a source of predominantly sourcing out BBC World Service as a 24-hour satellite opportunity for news here in Houston. And in the wake of these budget changes precipitated by this loss of expected income, we've had to eliminate that and several other long-standing big-ticket items in our budget, one of which was, in addition to the de-affiliating and no longer pulling in the outside program sources from these other providers, it was also to drop the line for what everyone calls Arbitron Research, but it was actually a company using Arbitron Research called Radio Research Consortium. And several other large changes in the budget did not get us far enough to making a balanced budget that we could present to the local finance committee and then take to the LSB prior to bringing it before you. So we came to I guess, in between a rock and a hard place. And it was, if you've looked through our budget, and I'm sure you have, it's a fairly lean, we have progressively been cutting it over the last several years in the wake of the recession. We have contracted our staff from a high about 5 years ago to its current status of not quite 9 FTEs. And when we got down to it, we were still not balanced, and we were looking at needing over $50,000 more in cuts to bring you a balanced budget. We looked at two options. One was to create pain on the local level. One was to create pain on the national level. And we've elected to create the pain on the national level. And it will create some pain on the local level, too. But I think what it will do is precipitate a necessary national discussion. And I'm happy to at least begin that conversation tonight. We were looking at either a 25% reduction in staff here at the station, a minimum of 2 FTEs being reduced, or we looked at the possibility of sharing that by reducing the...
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Dwayne. Our phone line's getting very noisy. Can everyone mute, particularly if you are on speakerphone? We're getting some feedback.
Yeah, I heard myself there.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
Okay, thanks. So what we elected to do was unilaterally reduce the central service line item to the national office from 17% to 12%. That effected enough of a shift in expenses to where we have the budget that was passed through the station board and finance committee and presented to you. Prior to making this unilateral decision, which I again say was supported by the local finance committee and the local station board, I also had discussions with the now departed to KiwiLand interim executive director, Bernard Duncan, and as a former general manager at our KPFK sister station, I do have his written support. He was hoping that this would have, well, that A, he would have stayed longer, B, that this process would have gone through channels quicker, and that he would be on this call as well to speak in defense of the choice we made. This has been something that I would say is long overdue. We and Bernard, while he was in that position, though shortly, was of mind that there needed to be some necessary cost-benefit evaluations for what we were getting for that 17%. And I don't want to belabor the discussion, but I would like to say that when I came into this position over 12 and a half years ago now, that we had a national structure that arguably could justify the 17% that was going to the national office in Berkeley. Before that, we had not just what remains there now, but we also had a national program director, we had a national HR director, we had a national development director, we had a more extensive finance staff, we had a lot of services that we were getting for that 17%. So that was what we elected to do to get us to a point where we had a budget that we could actually discuss with you tonight. The choice to go from 17 to 12, honestly, was, I thought, generous to not reduce it further, based on what we've gotten over the last several years, approaching many. And so I don't know. I think that sort of sets the plate for a necessary discussion, which I'm sure KPFT has, in my tenure, attempted to serve as a model of maybe how the network could work, and programmatically as well as financially. And so if we are the station through which this, I would argue, overdue necessary discussion begins, then I'm happy. So that's about it, I think, in terms of anything specific. It's a fairly bare-bones budget. The main issues, I think, before us are the decision we made here to essentially save a KPFT, two of our eight full-time staff positions, or reduce national superstructure costs. So I'm open to, I guess, questions or comments on that.
Before I open this back, I'll just catch you up on where we're at, Duane. At our last meeting, we had discussed how the national op has slimmed down considerably in the past couple months, and Raul believes it may well be able to operate on less money from the stations in the future. We're going to work backwards from what they need and try to get that assessment lowered. We don't know by how much, but we don't have those figures together from the national office yet. Stack on the
Welcome to Loop Up. Enter an access code. One moment, please. LoopBot is recording this call for the call leader's future use.
And if we want to jump into discussion on the question of KPFT's decision to lower its central services assessment, we hold that until we've disposed of factual questions about the budget document in front of us. Tony, yeah. You're first.
Yeah, I have Adriana. Two quick questions. First question is, how much money does that translate to 5%?
We lost you.
Tony, you faded out.
Faded out there, Tony.
I'm sorry?
You faded.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes, I repeat your question. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
How much money does that translate into, the actual, with that 5%? How much money reduction are we talking about? And how many full-time staff and part-time staff?
We have full-time staff is 8, and the part-time staff is the equivalent of about 1.5 FTEs. No one on staff that is part-time works any more than 18 hours, 16 to 18 hours, and So, and in terms of the dollars, we're looking at that reduction. I believe it was 50 and 60,000 dollars.
54, I think.
54,000
per year, or that's on an annual basis.
That was for the entire year, yeah.
Great. Next up, I've got Michael Novick. Go ahead.
I guess my question is, the other possibility would be increasing revenues. I noticed that on your budget, for example, you actually anticipate less listener support than you budgeted for last year. And less website income and couple of less from community special events, and so I'm wondering why you're anticipating less income this year, apart from, I understand that we're not getting the CPB money, but that's a separate question. These are all things that are within the power of the station season, at least match last year or increase. So I'm wondering why you felt that you needed to trim all those. Speaks to the general question of, you know, Houston being the fourth largest city in the United States and fastest growing big city, and you know, what the potential for increasing revenue and listenership and so on is there.
Sure. Well, it's actually, Michael, just a reflection of the reality of the climate we're operating in here in Houston. We're in a fairly conservative environment, though we do have a little bit of a tiny bubble within that. Yes, we are the fourth largest city, but in terms of statistical metropolitan survey areas, we're barely in the top 10. And that, I think, the reduction in those numbers is really just a reflection of the reality of the times. We've been on a decline in listenership, a decline in membership here in Houston. I think in the universe of public broadcasting, all in all, that's true as well. Our main shared audience is with the University of Houston, the NPR station here, which bought out the Rice University station and split itself into a full-time NPR kind of news feed channel, as well as a classical feed over on the old Rice channel. And both of those stations are struggling, and they're going into more frequent pledge drives, longer pledge drives, and slightly less successful pledge drives as well over the last several years. So I think that's just a reflection. And though we had a very successful mini drive just recently concluded at the beginning of August, that was, in my my take on that is, you know, it was a bit of an aberration. We've struggled to achieve the budgeted goals on our pledge drives over the last few years. I mean, and honestly, part of it is the media environment, in my opinion, but part of it is also that we don't really budget, nor do we market ourselves well, and I think that that can maybe apply to the entire universe of Pacifica. I'm impressed with what I've been told. Zuberi in LA has accomplished just in the recent past in terms of, you know, it's a little better than guerrilla marketing when you can actually get like a city bus stand placards and things like that. It's been an ongoing struggle here to raise the level of consciousness about KPFT in this market for longer than as long as I've been in Houston, which is pretty much as long as KPFT's been in Houston. So I don't want to belabor that point, but I hope that addresses some of what you asked.
Next up, I have Raul. And everybody, if you're not asking a question, please mute your phones. Raul, go ahead.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, good. I apologize if I am looking at the different budget, but first and foremost, your budget is showing a surplus of about $3,000, $3,878. Is that the same budget?
Yes.
Okay, good. So that's my question. The first question is the $200,000 restricted fundraising. That was showing last year. Is that also showing this year?
Yes, it is. That is in a still hoped for launch to a capital campaign to affect a new transmitter, which we're way overdue on.
Okay, so that's going to happen in the first quarter of the next fiscal year, right?
Well, that's what we said a year ago, and
yeah,
and yes, hope springs eternal.
Okay, and my other question it looks to me that you have about $20,000 of depreciation, which is a non-cash asset, and we discussed this, and we kind of passed a motion that we would evaluate this in terms of the surplus when we consider this budget. And that would, if you add that back, you will have probably about $23,000 surplus, which probably makes the difference between what was kind of a reduction on the central services versus what we, you know, what we you have budgeted. I just wanted to confirm, is that about $20,000 depreciation? And
well, this process was begun long before the committee voted to deal with depreciation in that way.
Okay.
And so ours has it left in. If that change affects the bottom line there from $3,800 to $2,308, then that's all to the good. But that doesn't cover half of the differential I mentioned in terms of reduction from 17% to 12% on National Office Central Service. It gets to about that would be about not quite half of it.
Okay.
Anything else, Raul?
That's it. Thank you, Duane.
Thanks, on to Barbara.
Well, you wanted to only take questions, and mine is really a comment with probably might provoke a little discussion.
Well, let's hold on comments and discussion and get factual questions out of the way. So I'll keep you on stack if that's what you want to do. Do you have any questions?
No.
Okay. Adriana. Adriana, you are barely audible, and it sounds like you're in a noisy car as well. Can you get the receiver closer to your mouth?
Yes. Let me go to my phone because
this
speaker is really difficult. Give me a second.
Okay, we'll come back.
This is Marcus Jeter. I've joined the call.
Welcome aboard, Marcus. I have a couple questions,
Thank
Duane.
You.
Under income, the car program income is $20,000 higher than you had budgeted for this year or you made last year. What's your basis for thinking it'll go up that high?
I'm basing that on what we've already achieved this year and extending that a little further. It's been very successful. And we're beyond 40,000 already this year. So to me, that said, last year's number was budgeted too low. And so we became a little bit more optimistic in terms of the future of that. And also it's being much more heavily promoted by us than it was in the past with on-air promotional announcements and such.
Do you happen to know what your year-to-date figure is on the car program?
I don't have that exactly, but
we can look it up. Don't worry about it.
40,000-ish.
On row 79 of the spreadsheet, outside services and payroll charges, there is no money budgeted, and it had been budgeted at $25,000 for the current year.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what's going on there?
I do not. I see that is likely a coding error of some sort that may be reflected in a different section of the budget. I see that in the last in 13 it was only $5,700. I see it budgeted at 25.7, but no. I don't know exactly, Brian.
Adriana?
Okay, Adriana, go for it.
Yes, thank you. Can you hear me better?
Much better.
Okay. First of all, I want to tell this committee that I'm really disappointed because our PPFT has been approved this budget with a vote of 9-5 without any discussion. If not, somebody prevent us from making even one question, and that's the way that the budget was approved. But that is obviously not the problem of this committee, it's a problem of our NSV. But I'm really happy that at least I can ask some questions now. First of all, when you said that we have 8 full-time employees, right?
Yes.
And we have, you said 1.5, it means that basically we have like 3 part-time employees?
By the way, she is our...
We have 4 less than half-time employees, yes.
Okay. How many employees, obviously all the full-time, but how many of the part-time employees do they have any health insurance?
0.
Okay. It means that we are projecting almost $2,000 a month for every employee for health insurance, right? Because I see that it's more than $15,000 a month. Who's the one that decide on how the health insurance of our employees is... who decide this? Because I was told before that the national office does that, but I know now that it's not true. I mean, we do it at PPFT. Who is in charge of deciding who the health insurance is and the prices and all of that? That is...
The health insurance is billed back to the station. Those contracts are negotiated at the national office level, and we are the three of us east of the Rockies are lumped in together. So
okay.
KPFT is lumped in with WPFW and WBAI in terms of that service. The California folks are all under Kaiser, and everyone east of that is under United Healthcare. And that's not a KPFT decision.
Okay.
I think
Thank
it
you.
Goes back to when the national office was actually in Washington, D.C. for a little while.
Okay. And the second thing that worried me a lot, and everybody knows from the last finance committee meeting, I care about bank charges. I think that I cannot explain, and I can offer, obviously, that will cost, your line is like more than $20,000, $22,000 a year for bank charges. And I believe that we can save that money without any problem. I think that I can bring at least 2 banks to KPFT to have those bank charges reduced to less than a quarter. We are paying more than the national office practically and more than the big stations that have an income much, much bigger than us. I don't understand that part. And I think that I'm asking that since 2011. And I want to know, I don't understand why we are wasting $22,000 in bank charges when we can do it for free or almost free.
Well, every check, every... charge, everything we do has a bank charge related to it. And I too have been amazed at the level of that expense, and that seems to be a cost of doing business because it's been that way as long as I can remember. I would have hoped and had been given some hope at least 2 or 3 times in my tenure that we would effect some economies of scale as a network to alleviate that, what I think I agree with you is a large number.
In that amount is not included credit card charges, because if I don't mistake, that those are in a different line, right? How can we explain every charge that comes, or every check that comes to us produce these expenses, but stations that have two or three times our income, they have a quarter of what we spend. I mean, it's something wrong, basically wrong there. How can we solve it? I bring two banks, at least two banks, to offer a service cheaper to KPFD. I'll save $20,000 in the time that we really need the money.
I can I get some provide some information on that?
Yes.
That would be okay. Good.
Yes. Right now, KPFT is with Wells Fargo, and there's a couple of other accounts, I think, investment accounts there. We are going through the process with the same situation at the national office when we are experiencing about $6,000 of bank charges with Bank of America, and I have addressed that issue with Bank of America that would result into about $12,000 of refund that we are requesting, or credit, because they started charging us that much money. And the economies of scale is the one that we were talking about when we wanted to open the account with Bank of America, so that it will be the Bank of America. Usually they have this fixed, Wells Fargo will have a fixed amount of about $600 to $1,000 to begin with, and then they charge like by piece, by transaction. Every check that clears is, 45 cents. Every thing that you do, or every deposit, is charged a dollar. And all those things add up to, between $2,000 and $3,000 per station. If we have economies of scale, if we include KPFT into the Bank of America, we will avoid that fixed cost that you pay each month to a different bank like Wells Fargo. So that might be a solution. Again, this is not saying that you were consolidating with the other account. You will have your own bank account the way you have it right now, except that you're getting a discount because you are kind of being piggybacked on the national account, main account, the fixed monthly amount, and you're only going to pay a charge. It's just like a telephone, the family plan. If you only pay the one big thing, and then whatever is, the additional lines will be only paying a portion of it. So that might be one solution. And that's the other thing that we were experiencing. Those inactive accounts that we set up to get these economies of scale, we were being charged about $500 a month on those. So we told them that should be credited because we never used them. So that would be a solution. And we are experiencing, the banks are charging every single transaction, whether you go online, you go to the teller, you make a deposit, you make a transfer, you make a wire transfer, they charge you money between 50 cents to even $2 every transaction.
I just want to point out that we're at time on the KPFT budget. I think we clearly have more to discuss. Can I get a motion to extend time on this item?
Yes.
Yes, please.
15 minutes.
Was that 15, Adriana?
Yes.
Any objection to extending for 15 minutes? Hearing none, we are now extended. Dwayne, two clarifying questions on that point. There's a blank line in your budget for caging services. It's row 133. Is it your bank who provides your check caging service?
Texas is a cage-free state.
Hey, I'm sorry, is that a joke?
Yes, it is. Sorry.
Okay.
Not a very good one, apparently. caging services, no. I think anything caged is that's never been an expense. I think that's, you know, there are lines in this budget that apply only to like one station out west or something. But
when people pay their pledges by check,
yes,
who gets those checks and processes them? Do they come to the station?
They are through a bank, so that's rolled into the bank charges.
Okay, so that's essentially
a lockbox.
Bank charges aren't comparable to other stations, because I think some stations are recording those on the caging services line.
It would be. We would call it a lockbox that is up in Dallas. And could I just clarify two other things for you, Brian? One, in terms of the large number for the car donations, through the end of the third quarter, we had $37,000 in car donations so far this year. That line that you were asking about earlier under administrative, line 79, I guess, outside services, payroll charges, that is reflective of, I believe, the no longer contracted service through Radio Research Consortium and Arbitron Services. So that, I think, is why that's just wiped out completely.
Okay. And the final question, when was the last time that you all got competitive quotes from banks on providing you banking services?
I would have to check with our business manager, Markeisha, on that, but probably no more than 2 years ago.
Okay. Any other factual
questions?
Sure, go ahead, Will.
Can you? I'm looking at the last year's, the 2014 year to date. You didn't record lines 117, 118 of your budget, the tower rent and utilities. You did not include any utilities on the tower. And what's going on with that? And then we're budgeting $50,000 on that.
Okay, this is Jim. That had come up in one of the prior meetings, and I would feel more comfortable doing that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
Jim, can you jot us all a quick note
offline
about that?
We'll get to the committee. It's just going on an open line. I think we better not. It'd be better if we didn't do that.
Jim, can you send us a follow-up note by email?
Sure.
With whatever information you have. Great.
Yeah. That's fine.
Okay. Any further factual questions on the budget before we get into discussion? All right. I'm closing the stack to questions. Dwayne, you can hang out or go about your evening as you prefer. You're welcome to stay in the conversation. Barbara had asked to be on stack for discussion. Who else?
Raul.
I've got Barbara and Raul. Who else?
Michael Novick.
Barbara, Raul, Michael.
And
Adriana.
Tony.
And Tony. Barbara, Raul, Michael, Adriana, and Tony. Am I missing anyone? All right. Adriana, I'll let you go first since it is your station of origin. And then I'll follow the stack in the order I called it. So go ahead, Adriana.
Okay, so for me, like I explained before, it's so difficult because, I mean, the only thing that we see is a spreadsheet with lines and numbers without anything else. We are not allowed to have discussions openly in our LSD. I feel it's not, I'm not questioning the ability of Dwayne or the business manager to do this. What I'm questioning is, we are not doing our jobs. I don't know where to get the information because I don't have it. How can we rubber stamp budgets without having the option to check on every line? You know, I don't know if I think that is very clear my frustration, because like I said, I get involved in KPFT since 2010 really. And basically I see this year after year. We cannot check this information. I don't know how else to explain it. You know, like I said, looking at the piece of paper with a bunch of lines doesn't mean anything. I feel that we are not filling up our fiduciary responsibilities because we are not taking care and really controlling, like our bylaws says, the money that is entrusted to us. And I don't think that only happened in KPFT, but KPFT is the only one that I know. That's it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had one more question for you, Dwayne, if you're still on the call.
Yes.
It's on the cash flow tab. So this kind of concerned me, because this shows how much money you're supposed to have in the bank each month under this plan. In November, it's negative $8,000. In December, it's negative $46,000. In January, negative $38,000. And in April, negative $40,000. And that's assuming, your cash flow assumes that all that transmitter money does come in. Let me see. Oh, no, it shows it's spent in the same month it comes in. So you can't have negative cash in the bank, at least with any of the banks I've dealt with. What's your plan for paying bills in those months?
The usual plan is to start the next pledge drive early. And I think in the wake of the passage of this, we have already moved up and extended a drive from middle of August to the end of July. We are also projecting now that a late October pledge drive will begin probably the first week of October, and that it will run longer than I believe maybe any drive KPFT's ever had, save one. It's being extended to a full 21 days, I believe. So, I mean, that's been the methodology historically, is to start another fund drive sooner or extend a fund drive longer. It's not a sustainable model, but it has proven to work. So I don't have a better answer than that for you right now.
Okay. Next on the stack, I have Barbara.
Well, were you going to go back to Adriana's question, and is there any answers for her before I bring up this next topic? I think she's asking for more discussion, but I don't know whether that's something.
Jim, I can explain the Finance Committee meetings and the LSB meeting. Hold
on a second. I don't want this to go off on a tangent here. So I'm picking up on the sense that there's a conflict at your local board, which is not uncommon in Pacifica, but it's also not this committee's place to intervene in local disputes. So I don't want to get in a back and forth on votes that none of the rest of us participated in. I want to deal with the viability of the budget document that's in front of us.
That's fine. My phone is always open to anyone on the LSB. I've never gotten a call. Thank you.
Okay. Jim, Dwayne, if Adriana has further questions about supporting details for the budget, what's the best process for her to go through to get her questions answered?
I think she should come to me. I've gone out of my way to answer every question that's been brought to me to the best of my ability.
Okay. Barbara?
I'm getting a little side suggestion here that looking at the multiple tabs explains a lot of things about how these numbers are arrived at. And in fact, our business manager has offered to walk Adriana through that if they want to talk sometime. So my point to bring up was about the radio research consortiums, and it's been pointed out to me that we let go of that. We don't pay for Arbitron, but when we inquired recently about picking that up again with, you know, some idea from, I guess it was our interim manager before our new manager, that it would be a good idea, we were told that there are old bills that have not been paid by other stations, and that we couldn't pick up the service again, and even on our for our station, pay for it for us until these other bills were paid. So I don't know whether this is something other people are concerned about, or if you
it,
give
it
up.
It honestly sounds like a separate question from this budget, Barbara.
Okay.
Because the budget's not proposing to resume payments to Radio Research Consortium. Do you have anything on the budget?
No.
Okay. Next up, we have Raul.
Okay, just first, I just wanted to follow on the research consortium. So we do not have any obligation to put anything on the research consortium for KPFT. But my question is, my discussion is about the central services. As I have indicated before, we are evaluating our budget at the national office, and we're doing our best to reduce the expenses at the national office, and we will determine what kind of funding requirements after the national the NFC has reviewed our expenses. We will be able to determine what kind of support we need from the radio station. We have made the first pass of the budget that I sent to Margie for our review. But instead of, I wanted to make sure that she's also in the same on the same page with me on our cut in personal in expenses. However, just playing with the numbers, initially we see a reduction of about, you know, 12 to 15% of expenses, or not expenses, but after we plan the expenses for the national office and project the kind of the revenue between the affiliate income and the subcarrier income, our resulting deficit that would need to be supported by the central services is about $1.3 million, and that's about 15 to 16% of a reduction from what we were requiring the stations to pay using the 17%. So it looks like there's going to be a reduction of central services at that point. the preliminary numbers, the budget for national office reflects that reduction that we need only to the amount that we need from the stations. However, the KPFT budget reflects about 30% reduction in their central services, and that might not be able to sustain the contribution of the KPFT might not be able to sustain the operations of the national office. At the same time, you know, that might put a burden on the other radio station if the allocation would be based on that. So I think that there might be an issue on how much really would be needed from KPFT, and I don't think that this number would probably be feasible in terms of the total expenses or total requirements from the national office.
Raul, one question. Have you all had any discussions about what's an appropriate amount of KPFT's business manager salary for the other stations that are benefiting from her services to cover?
Well, they are already paying the business manager at KPFT.
Oh, it's already happening?
Yeah, it's already happening. She's being paid from BAI and BAI and PFW already.
Dwayne and Jim, does that square with?
Are you aware of that, Dwayne?
Well, in does part, that with? Not exactly. It doesn't really comply with the agreement that was entered into at the beginning of this process, back when Arlene was still the executive director.
Okay.
I mean, it does cover the differential, but it doesn't cover the reduction to the in business services. And again, I'd be more comfortable, I think, not having this conversation on an open wire.
Fair enough. Is that is the extent to which it's currently being shared reflected in this budget?
Yes.
Okay. Next, I have Michael Novick.
I appreciate that Dwayne proposed that we should have a discussion based on what he's suggesting. And I know that we have a general agreement or understanding that we want to budget the national office based on the actual needs and expenses of the national office, as opposed to waiting to see what's going to come in and then spending.
I'm wrong.
But, huh?
I'm sorry. Everyone else mute, please. Michael should be the only one with his phone on right now. Perfect, Michael.
But I do want to come back to what I said earlier. I think that the everybody is in the same boat, really, in one way or another, that Dwayne is saying the KPFC is. And I think that the strategic solution for us all is to figure out how to grow our way out of it. And so, you know, kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul is not really going to make it. And so I am concerned. I would like to see really a plan that says how the station is going to increase. I hear what he's saying about the audience and so on, but it is the fourth largest city in the United States. It is the largest, the fastest growing large city in the United States. It has the fastest growing youth population. It's a city that's getting younger, as opposed to L.A., which, even though it has a big immigrant population, is getting older, like most other cities in the United States used to be bucking that trend. And so I think that there has to be some thought given to increasing the revenue side by increasing the listeners. And to me, that's what would go into a budgetary process. I don't know what kind of discussion they've had, but what we pushed at KPFK and what you're hearing from Newberry's, not just Newberry, but the LSP, wanted to create a development task force. We've been recruiting people on there. We have like 20-some people with, you know, some development skills, marketing skills. We're coming in to volunteer the services to the station to try to build audience, increase legacy giving, other things. And I think there has to be some thought to that, if not in this budget, then in your next one, because the solution has to be, you know, growing, building audience, meeting community needs better, and, you know, therefore having a larger audience and a larger pool of money coming in. That's it.
Thanks, Michael. Next on Stack, I have Tony.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can.
Yeah, my only concern and discussion, I don't have a problem with the central service deduction, but Mike, I guess I'm going to have a question with Raul. So is this going to be, what can we afford to do across the board? Are other stations going to follow this with a 5% reduction or a 10% reduction? I mean, where is the range that we can afford from a budgetary perspective of each station, what they're going to do in terms of reducing central service? I don't know if Raul, you all have discussed that, or I'm sure other stations are going to come in with similar or more reductions. So I guess I'd like to hear Raul's opinion on that.
Yes.
In terms of how other stations and what we can, what can we afford to have each station reduce central services by?
So I think Raul covered that. He said his ballpark right now is that we'll be able to drop central services 12 to 15% from what they are currently, but KPFT's proposal goes beyond that. Am I wrong, Raul?
That's accurate. That's correct.
You said KPFT's proposal goes beyond that?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make a proposal because I'm hearing the same concerns coming up again. I think to be consistent with the budgeting policies we want, and this will help KPFT's bottom line, we need to see that offsetting adjustment of depreciation. I think for it to be a responsible budget, we need some explanation for how the cash flow is going to work in those months that are currently showing a negative cash balance. And since we have not hammered down an exact number for central services, but we are hoping to lower them across the boards for the stations, I think we need basically something that spells out what the difference is for KPFT to us. So I'm going to send out a proposal that we postpone approval while asking for... Well, I'll read it. That the National Finance Committee postpone approval of the KPFT budget pending submission of the following. First, a revised budget that offsets depreciation with an equivalent positive adjustment under cash and capital. Second, a revised cash flow projection or narrative budget addendum consisting of a plan for meeting KPFT's cash needs during the months currently showing a negative cash balance. And third, a contingency plan detailing how KPFT will operate if central service assessments remain at their current levels. I just sent that out. Any discussion on that proposal? Do those of you who raised concerns feel like anything's missing from that proposal?
Brian, this
yes, Barbara.
Proposal is just, you're just speaking about how to handle KPFT's budget right now, right?
Correct.
Okay. I do have a question for Raul, something that he mentioned a while ago about income to the national office if when it's appropriate.
Okay.
Okay, let's...
Okay.
Well, I wanted to ask about the subcarrier accounts or income.
Let's dispose of KPFT's budget before we get into national office income.
Okay. It is, though, from all of us, you know, from the stations.
Correct.
And so that's why I was concerned about it.
Can you hear me? Can
is that our
me?
Paul?
Yeah, okay, you can. I was on mute.
This is very responsible of you. Welcome back.
Okay, let me read this so everybody can hear. We all agree on what we're dealing with here?
The motion as I have it is that the National Finance Committee postpone approval of the KPFT budget pending submission of the following. One, a revised budget that offsets depreciation expense with an equivalent positive adjustment under, quote, cash and capital, unquote. Two, a revised cash flow projection or narrative budget addendum consisting of a plan for meeting KPFT's cash needs during the months currently showing a negative cash balance. Three, a contingency plan detailing how KPFT will operate if central service assessments remain at their current levels. And that's the whole thing, right?
That is the whole thing. Thank you.
Can I add something?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, we probably would need to determine if that tower utilities and tower rental would be also included, any information about that, if that might affect the budget.
You think that needs to be a formal part of the motion, or is that something you and Dwayne and Jim can just follow up with off the call?
Okay.
I think probably everybody wants the numbers to be accurate, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, but we don't know what that is.
See, your concern is that we may not be budgeting tower utility. Well, we don't know what the issues are, and Jim has concerns about discussing them on a public call. So, I think it's probably unfair to work language into a motion that we can't discuss. Anything else on this proposal? Any objections to this language?
Am I audible?
You are, Michael. Go ahead.
I have the same concern I stated in the discussion and in the questioning. To me, I think that a budget has to be a plan for how we're going to move ahead, and I would like to see some kind of plan for it. In other words, their budget projects lower listener support, lower various items, lower by substantial amounts of money compared to even the current year we're in. And that just seems to be a downward cycle that you're not going to get out of. So that's a larger question about their budget, in a sense, than just what's in that motion.
May I make a suggestion?
Sure, go ahead, Barbara.
Your motion, if you just included the words, a revised budget that shall include at least these three items, meaning you could, of course, adjust other things.
I actually think that's permissible under the current language.
Okay.
It calls for a revised budget. It specifies the depreciation offset, but it doesn't limit it to that.
Okay.
Michael, so this motion is not approving the agenda. It's postponing, approving the budget. It's postponing approval of the budget, but asking for more information and some revisions before we do. Do you want to object to it? Do we need to take a vote?
I guess not.
A vote, I'll object to it.
Jim Boyd?
Yep.
Okay. Any further discussion before we call the roll?
Just one thing I'd like to say as far as revenue. In the past, the Civica Foundation has overstated hope for revenue. KPFT never does that, and we never will do that. Our budgets are meant to be realistic. And we won't change that standard. That's all I have.
All right. Thanks for that, Jim. And I just want to add before we go to the vote, I think KPFT is to be commended for being first out of the gate with a budget and for being realistic and prudent about its income projections. We've definitely gotten, as a network, ourselves into trouble with wishful budgeting in the past. And I think Michael's right that ultimately we have to grow our way out of our problem. That may be a more prolonged discussion than we can have with a budgeting process that started about 3 months too late. In any case, R. Paul, can you call the roll on the motion?
Okay.
Actually, why don't you read it once more before you call the roll?
Why don't I read it before we do that?
Please.
Okay, the motion is that the National Finance Committee postpone approval of the KPFT budget pending submission of the following. One, a revised budget that offsets depreciation expense with an equivalent positive adjustment under, quote, cash and capital, unquote. Two, a revised cash flow projection or a narrative budget addendum consisting of a plan for meeting KPFT's cash needs during the months currently showing a negative cash balance. Three, a contingency plan detailing how KPFT will operate if central service assessments remain at their current levels. Okay? All right. And Jim Boyd.
No.
Lydia Bazan. Adriana Kasanov.
Yes.
Brian Edwards Tiekert.
Yes.
Marcus Jenner.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin. Pass. Tony Norman.
Yes.
Michael Novick.
Abstain.
Manager Saba, Raul Salvador.
Yes.
Barbara Whipperman.
Yes.
Okay, going back, me. Okay, I'll abstain. Okay, the vote is 6-4, 1 against, 2 abstentions.
And Dwayne and Jim, while you all are working on that, we're going to be working our darndest on the expense side of the national office budget to make our shared national expenses as affordable as possible for everyone in the network. And I do appreciate you starting the conversation. Thank you for your time.
Thanks.
It is now past 11 o'clock on the East Coast. I don't know about you all, but I'm close to my pumpkin hour. If someone wants to make a motion to adjourn, it doesn't sound like we're going to have too many more budgets in 2 weeks. We can resume our review of the financial statements then. I heard a motion to adjourn from Michael Novick.
I'm sorry. Before I ask my motion, we had on the agenda planning additional meetings, and I'm wondering if we can at least do that on the list.
Before adjourning?
Okay. No. I'm just reminding people that we should.
Oh, if we can split the income email list.
Yeah, that's all.
Yes, I'll take responsibility for starting that thread.
Thank you. So then I'm going to adjourn.
There's a motion to adjourn from Michael Novick. Any objections? Hearing none, we're adjourned. I will see you all in 2 weeks. Thanks very much for your time, everyone.
Good night.